Hey listeners, I hope you all had a restful break and ate some amazing food on Thanksgiving. Today I'm here to share another story we've made with you on the Radioactive Podcast. On this week's episode, we'll hear from Izzy about her family's own journey from lost to found. They had been split up by war, and in the search for what they lost, they found something unexpected. I feel like it's been a million years since I last talked, let alone saw Izzy. And out of the eight of us from this summer's workshop, Izzy is the first to go off to college. I know that she's been separate from us at Radioactive, but I wonder what it's like to be separated from her family. Hello?
Diego!
Izzy, it's been so long. Oh my god.
I know. I haven't heard your voice in like 4 months.
Yeah, no, wait. I haven't heard yours either. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wow, thank you for asking. Oh my gosh.
You're welcome. I know people don't usually ask back, you know?
Yeah, I know. It feels good to be cared about. I'm good. What is new? How's college treating you?
College is stressful, but it's good. I sleep a lot, which is good. I eat a lot, which is not as good.
I know your family's really important to you and stuff. Have you seen your aunt or cousins lately?
Yes, I have. They actually drove up last Monday, and I had lunch with them, and it was really sweet.
Oh, that's so awesome. In case you didn't know, Izzy's aunt, Milagros Ortiz, lived during the time of the Nicaraguan Revolution. Though it's been about 27 years since the end of it, the effects of the war often last much longer than we think. Should we listen to your story?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Yeah, let's turn it on. Turn it up full volume.
Yes,
let's get this party started. Woohoo!
My great-aunt, my tía Milagros, has an air about her that's warm and calm. Her laugh is loud, and when she speaks, she looks into your soul. This music is a recording of a traditional dance from when she visited Nicaragua a few years ago. It's a place she has mixed feelings about.
Because pain is there, but there is a resilience to have joy.
I love tía, and I'm close with her, even though I only met her 3 years ago. I didn't know much about my Nicaraguan roots. I love it when she tells me stories about where she comes from. One of Tia's favorite parts of her life in Nicaragua was the house she grew up in and her father's big garden. She loved school and her friends and how beautiful it was over there. She was happy with her life. But then her dad got sick. When she was 15, he died. That same year, 1979, the Sandinista revolutionaries gained control of the government. It was a revolution intended to serve the most vulnerable, and it was exciting and triumphant at first for Tía. But she suffered during the war's violence. Nicaragua turned into this place she didn't even recognize anymore. After her father's death, her half-brother, Eulogio, stepped in to help out. He'd been living in America and had a family there, and he offered to take Tía and her siblings with him to the States. But Tia's other brother was drafted into the war. She didn't want to leave without him. So Eulogio left and vanished from her life. She never stopped wanting to find him. In Nicaragua, the violence only got worse as another phase of the revolution started, the Contra War. In all, 40,000 people were killed. When she was 18, Tía got married and left Nicaragua. She realized she couldn't have a family there.
I couldn't live with the fear that my children would be sent to war.
She immigrated to British Columbia, and though she was safe there, it didn't feel like home.
When you come from a country like Nicaragua, often people assumed that I am so happy to be in Canada. No one even think the pain that I can feel that I lost the land when I grew up.
The war was inside her. It was with her wherever she went. At the same time, Tia Mila longed to find her brother Elogio.
To tell him thank you for being there for me.
He was the connection to her home, to the beautiful parts of Nicaragua that she deeply missed. But he was nowhere to be found. She didn't have a phone number, an address, or even a single photo of Elogio. She searched for 30 years. Luckily, a few years ago, this magical thing called Facebook came along.
I don't know how life helped me. It was very difficult. I am not very good with technology. So after years and years, I decided to enter Facebook to see if I could find my brother or to recover something I felt like lost.
She found someone with the same last name on Facebook. That person turned out to be my dad. She messaged him and asked if his father and her long-lost brother were the same person. And they were. Elogio was my grandfather. Tia Mila got to reconnect with her brother at last. It should have been a happy ending, but it was more messy than that. It turns out that after vanishing from Tia's life, my grandfather Elogio left my dad, my grandma, and the rest of their family. As a result, my dad grew to reject the Nicaraguan part of his life because he didn't want to be anything like the man who abandoned him. Since my dad didn't grow up learning about our culture, he didn't pass it down to me. I didn't learn Spanish and didn't know any of my Nicaraguan relatives. As Tia Mila learned of the pain her brother Elogio had caused, her image of her hero became complicated. How could this man who tried to save her family be the same man who abandoned his own?
I thought that your father and your uncles were spared the suffering we had in Nicaragua. And I have been very saddened to discover that there is so much pain for them too.
Sometimes pain doesn't have a purpose. Or maybe the reasons behind it are as human and unavoidable as a civil war. The war that separated my family for so long wasn't just left in Nicaragua. Maybe people can't help but pass down this trauma to their families.
I don't know how we managed to survive through generations of people with such traumas. So that is something quite common in Nicaragua. Pain.
No matter how common pain is, it's hard to simplify. I can't be mad at my grandpa or say that he's a bad person. I've realized I may never know the full story of our family. But still, there's good things, especially since Tia Mila discovered me and my dad.
It's for me, it's a gift. A big consolation in life. You're a gift to me. You're the most wonderful gift.
Since I met my tia Mila, I have a whole other family, a whole other life.
Dad, mom as well?
They tag me and stuff on Facebook all the time. My cousin even asked me to be a bridesmaid in her wedding. When I visit tia Mila in Canada, she tells me often what she wants for me, in between feeding me like a plant and showering me with affection.
You deserve to be happy, to smile, to be resilient. To manage to have moments of happiness is the most rebellious act.
We want you to be happy.
Happiness is the most rebellious act. I'll always remember her telling me that. For Radioactive, I'm Isabella Ortiz.
Okay, that line gets me so good. I love it so much.
It really is the best.
I still can't believe she just said that. Like, it's perfect.
Oh my God. We weren't even like, that was at breakfast the next morning, and she was just showing me some photos and stuff, and she was like, happiness is the most rebellious act. And I was like, okay, that's so good. And then she started laughing.
I'm so glad you're recording. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was lucky.
So, how did your cousin's wedding go?
It was beautiful and it was very colorful. We had a wedding in a temple, and then we had a white wedding. I wasn't sure if they meant like white like church or white as in like white people. It was both. And it was really beautiful.
How did it feel learning that there was another side of your grandfather that you didn't know about when telling this story?
Honestly, it was kind of challenging because for a really long time, the image that I had of my grandfather was that he was just this like just a terrible person, basically, who abandoned his family. And seeing that there was somebody who was super important to me who like loved him and cherished him and wanted a relationship with him, I was like, oh, maybe he isn't this one-dimensional figure, you know, maybe he's a real person and people actually love him. And that was super hard to come to terms with, the fact that, you know, he could be a multifaceted human being who had a life before he made these bad decisions.
So what did you learn about yourself in telling the story?
I learned that I was part of a very large and rich and beautiful family full of really strong women. My aunt is basically my other aunt's mom because she raised them from the age of 18. So she basically carried her family on her back almost at like my age. It's really cool to see her, and she's thriving.
You mentioned that it was basically at your age when she had to go through that. Do you think imagining yourself in that situation helps you kind of process what she went through?
Yeah, for sure. But even then, there's still a lot that I can't even fathom. That I can't even, like, I don't have the emotional maturity to even imagine those situations. And it's also like, I can still see how much it's bringing her pain, like, after all these years. And I don't even think that she really knew that it was gonna have that much effect on, like, the war wasn't gonna be this thing that she could just forget about, you know, like when she was my age.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible that you can't just really put that kind of thing behind you.
Exactly. And it sticks with you, and it changes who you are as a human being, and it changes the chemistry in your brain, and it changes so much about you. So,
of course. So is there anything you left out of your final story that you wish you could have kept in?
There was a lot more about my dad and my grandpa that I wanted to put in. But then as I was making the story, I realized this was a story about Mila, and it wasn't, you know, it was a story about Mila, and it was a story about how I met her and how she met me and how she is bringing all of this history into the family and bringing it to me and sharing it with me in a way that I never even kind of realized was possible. So I'm glad that it didn't like take away from the story in the end, but it would have been cool to have some other backstory in there too.
Is there anybody that you want to thank for helping you create the story?
Yeah, I'd for sure want to thank Jenny and Mary. It was a really long and confusing and weird story to begin with, and they definitely helped me make it not that way. At least I hope. I want to thank everybody else who was in the internship with me because they were super cool, and I've honestly like kept in touch with most of them. They're like really good friends that I've made. Now I'm like gonna be a DJ at the radio station here. I'm much more comfortable in that space now, and I feel like I belong here. So that I want to thank everybody who made that possible, especially Radioactive, and my mommy and my dad and my Tia especially.
That's awesome. Do you actually like, are you on the radio? Can I listen?
I will be on the radio next quarter, but yeah, go to KUGS FM, whatever, Google that and you'll find it.
I will check it out. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. I love you guys. Bye.
Love you too. See you later. It looks like we're at the end of another episode. Have you learned any surprising things about your family? Is there anything about your family that you wish you knew? Well, if there is, go share your thoughts with us on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media or on Twitter and Instagram at KUW Radioactive. And either way, please review this podcast on iTunes. We love reading what you guys have to say about the new episodes, and I mean especially me because I go check on the app and there's only two and they're the same. If you enjoyed this one, make sure you turn over your giant 128-hour hourglass, because next time we'll hear a story about a family that's an ocean apart, but still manages to have dinner together a few times a week. I want to give a quick thanks to Alima Saliar for her help putting this all together, to our editor Mary Heisey and Brian Freeland for mixing the podcast. And, of course, Izzy for their story and to the rest of the Radioactive crew. Once again, Diego Viruel here, and I'll see you all next week.